Good afternoon and welcome to a very special edition of Open Air. And good afternoon, Ashwini and Jen.
Hey, Michael. Good afternoon.
Michael.
Yeah, great. So we have a very special show. And Jen and Ashwini, do you want to take it from here?
Yeah, do we have any announcements, Michael, that we need to do, or are we announcement-free?
Thank you for keeping me on track, Jen. I have a couple of announcements.
Okay.
Work can be enjoyable if it's done within a supportive structure where ego is not our coworker. In our workshop, The Mentor to the Rescue, next Sunday, April 28th, we will practice having the mentor as our coworker and see the difference that wisdom, love, and compassion bring to whatever task we're performing. Registration closes this Friday at noon Pacific time. And Sangha is invited to our spiritual home at 4 Acres Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington. This year's Summer of Sangha includes week-long and weekend retreats from June until August. A full schedule of yoga, meditation, guidance, workshops, groups, and self-guided practice will be offered. And it will be possible to accept precepts with this practice during the Summer of Sangha. Slots are filling up fast, so sign up soon. And usual reminders for tonight, if you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Jen and Ashwini on this special show, you can press *6 and then 1. And on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great. And so with that, I'll turn it back over to you, too.
And hopefully, Michael, the topic will be the post-surgery report from people.
Yes.
So
exactly.
For anyone who may have missed it, we had a very fun assignment on the 18th, the International Day of No Sulfate, that depicted this fabulous cartoon with a fellow in a hospital bed with his head completely wrapped up, talking with a surgeon who's holding a bell jar with a little tiny man in it and congratulating the patient on a successful removal of his inner critic. So in honor of the International Day of No Sulfate, we all had our inner critic removed and no longer have the ability to feel bad, to think there's something wrong with us, to see ourselves as less than, imagine we're not enough, dislike some aspect of ourselves, to assess what we're spending our day, time, life, whether it's on the things we should be, seeing things as a mistake, critiquing, judging, regretting. And so what we're hoping is today we get to hear from folks on how has that been going post-surgery. So
fabulous.
I think probably we're... Go ahead.
As you said, fabulous. That all sounds great.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully it is. So I think we're probably ready for our first caller.
All right, let's go. We have a big queue of them here, so that's great.
Excellent.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy in Athens, Georgia.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi. I just wanted to say that this surgery, the loss of my inner critic has just changed my life so much for the better. I actually did not really think it was possible. It's been such a default in my life to go to that critic about every little thing. And to just say no, say no, it's gone, or I'm not going there. I don't have, there's no self-hate. And just seeing it as a reality has just been amazing. And I'm just so grateful.
And it's so fun, Nancy, isn't it? Because I think that's one of the things that's so fun and helpful about an assignment like this is that when a possibility like that is put in front of us, generally we do what we always do, which is the habit to go to conditioned mind. And conditioned mind says, no, you can't do that. How are you ever going to do that? You've never been able to do it before. But it's why something like this that's so playful and actually gives us a way to imagine it. Well, what if that literally was surgically removed? What would that be like? I don't have the ability. And then we actually can go there.
Yes. Yes. Just seeing that it is possible to turn that off, to not listen to it, to say it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, when it starts to creep in, it's like, nope, you know, I have needed to remind myself that it's gone, but it still works.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Yeah, well, that's fun to hear. Thanks for being the first to report.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It is exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the change in my life.
Yeah. Thanks for reporting on it.
I'm enjoying things so much better.
Excellent.
So thank you, Gasho.
Gasho.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. And we have our next caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there, this is Lucinda in California.
Hey, Lucinda.
Hi, Ashwini. So one thing I found Jen just mentioned is the humor. The humor aspect of the assignment really was disarming. So that was... like such a fun, you know, thing that made me laugh. And subsequently, I was in this like bubbly mood whenever I would see self-hate crop up and just think it was funny in a way. Or kind of, I didn't take it so seriously. And the whole mood was lightened like a painting, you know, the whole mood of the painting was up a whole bunch of notches in brightness.
Yes, that's just a wonderful depiction of a shift in perspective. Because when we're actually believing it or listening to it and struggling with it, it feels so real, so grim, so serious, the world is a very dark place, dark room. And then suddenly, if we are given that lens, almost the permission to look at it from a perspective of fun and humor, then there is a visible sense of seeing the absurdity of it.
Yes.
And being able to laugh at it. And it becomes that much lighter. The whole thing lights up.
Yep.
It becomes the cosmic joke rather than, oh my God, I'm the victim of the cosmic joke.
You know, but I had a question. So I was talking to someone about no self-hate, and their response was, why use the term self-hate when maybe another term that wasn't so sharp would suffice? Do you have thoughts on that?
Do you?
Well, I told her it's kind of calling it like it is.
Good one.
I think she had, you know, she was hoping for something soft and accepting and, you know, like that. And right, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love your response, right, Lucinda, because it's sort of the principle of the assignment, right? It's not, this assignment was very specific. You don't have self-hate. What is your world like? Because what it forces us to is to look for how it is, not how it's not, right? Because oftentimes what we go to is, well, what self-hate was attempting to do this, and I see it, and, right? This assignment was, no, there's no self-hate. How would you be if there was no self-hate?
Right.
And so there's that movement that we're looking at, and the principle to the question that your friend asked you or whoever you were talking to is responded is, it's that place of, I'm going to quibble about the labels rather than look and see how hateful that internal conversation actually is and prove to myself that the epithet is actually a valid one. We never do that, right? We want to quibble about, that's what the conditioned process does. It wants to quibble about the appropriateness of the name and the sharpness of the epithet and all of that, rather than just turn and go, something is called self-hate. What is my experience of that?
Hmm. Yeah, I guess the word hate doesn't come up that often. In my world, I mean, I don't know, except this, in this reference, and it probably is the most harmful, non-life-supporting thing in my life, you know, in my experience.
And to call it, and to call it for what it is really, really helpful, and it's possible if you're not identified, right? When I'm when I'm in that conditioned place, anything that points the conditioning out feels threatening, right? So let's just all be nice about all of these things. That's not what we do as awareness practitioners. What is it? They call a spade a spade, and I think one Zen teacher said maybe a bloody shovel.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for that. That was so helpful. We really call it what it is.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have to have, and we can say it from a non-judgmental place, which is the place we're going to as well, right? Just because it's hateful doesn't mean it's the whole acceptance thing. I accept this is what it is. It's a cause of suffering. I want to end suffering. So let's call it what it is, and let's look at it and see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the attitude of mind, right?
Right. And it is my experience.
That, yes.
You know, when I listen or when I see or notice the words, the feeling, everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lot of hate in the world, which is just simply the self-hate projected outward. And it's not helpful to say, oh, no, let's just dress it up to have a nicer word.
Right. Yeah.
Might go away. Doesn't
yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Lucinda.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Lucinda. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hey, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. Gosh, at the very beginning, I think Michael said, you want to be in the queue, and I heard that I don't want to be in the queue. And so, and so it's just, but there is this lightness to being able to say, oh, there you are, I see you in that little bell jar, and it just feels lighter somehow with this assignment. So I can picture that. I can know that I'm having a phantom pain and just push the star six and hop right in.
Good for you, Kate. And I love that reference in the assignment to the phantom pain. So, you know, you've had it removed, which doesn't mean there aren't echoes of it, right? It's been there for so long that there are echoes of it. And what you're really describing are the subtle forms of it that we often miss, partly because of that last question, like hate. I mean, is that hate, you know, not wanting to put myself in the queue? Well, on one level, we could say no. But when you really follow it through and realize that process is in control of my life, you realize that is a process of self-hate, absolutely. And that lightness that you're describing of like, oh, I see you in the bell jar, and then getting to put yourself in the queue really describes, as Ashwini was pointing out, the assignment's asking, so what is life without that? And you're demonstrating that. Life without that is one of participation and of getting to be involved and enjoy our experience.
Yes. Yeah, and if I don't want to be in the queue, you can take it at just that. But if you follow that all the way through the process and the why of the message of why you don't want to be in, like why it doesn't want to be in the queue, it very quickly goes to self-hate. You're not going to have anything good to say. But that stuff has gone completely underground. You're left with just this shorthand and kind of a yucky sensation in the body. And then, you know, you just feel like, oh, okay, I won't get in the queue. And it feels innocuous, but it's really, really not.
Especially because then later on, you're going to get the beating from the other side of the duality. See, I mean, you don't put yourself in the queue. Why don't you put yourself in the queue? You're not involved. You're not. And so that's brilliant because truly, if you had no ability to feel bad, to think about how you should be, to project how other people are going to see you, those have all been removed, there'd be no reason not to be in the queue all the time.
Yeah.
We'd always,
right.
Literally, historically, would always be in life's queue.
I love that. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you be? Yeah, clearly, if there's a reason not to be, it's holding you back in some way that's not kind.
Yes. Not kind. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love the assignment. Thank you so much. I'll let lots of people in the big queue get in.
Excellent. Thanks, Kate.
Okay. Gesho.
Gesho.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hey. So fun to be able to participate in this. And one of the things I was noticing in the last 24 to 48 hours is that like self-hate just hasn't been there. There's been...
You've had surgery, Laura. Didn't you just come in you?
Right. But I was, when I was looking at the assignment today, or the reminder about what the focus, and it was like, oh, like it hasn't felt hard, right? Like I felt like I wasn't having to be like really diligent, you know, around not doing it. It was just like, oh, and then there's, you know, when you say that, you're like, oh, that's right, you had surgery, it's gone, right? You don't, right? And that place of the gift of practice of the, and not to go to an expectation that it will always be like this, but really allowing myself to highlight, underline, circle, you know, that this is actually possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to highlight, circle that this is actually possible. And where I went with what you just said, Laura, it's so important. It's such a demonstration, right? It has been so much a part of our lives that when it's not there, it's quite astounding. Yeah.
Yes.
And what that means is who we are is not what we experience ourselves to be without a lot of practice. And that's the impact of self-hate, right? It's a negation, such a total negation of who we are.
Yes, yeah. And there's been some intense content. You know, even today there was some content, and it was like, oh, there is no feeling bad about this. We're just watching, we're just observing, we're just... And then the other piece that was really just the gratitude for the guides, like that dropped in for her at some point, that becomes how the celebration is to extend an invitation to end self-hate everywhere.
Mm.
It's just the gratitude that's what is being offered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, such gratitude that it's so funny. I don't want to give anything away, but we have a little thing coming out about the origins of the Nothing Wrong With You work.
Mm.
And it there's such a, there's first of all, the insight, as you're pointing out, of a conversation in conditioned mind that we're listening to and that is making us feel bad. And articulating that is the foundation of this practice, right? Because you can't do spiritual practice if you're identified with something that is negating you all the time. It's sort of like fundamentally the thing that we have to transcend. And so there's the insight, there's the articulation of the insight, and then there's the offering of that insight to everyone so that we can all benefit from it. And so, yes, such a tremendous level of gratitude for that modeling, right? Because I project, Laura, that when we go to places of no self-hate and are in that astonishment that we can live a life without feeling bad, without going to punishment and survival and all of those places that we're conditioned to go, then we become the very same sort of the way we paid forward, right?
Yeah.
That's how we are in the world.
Yeah. Mm. So deep gratitude.
Yeah, it's the best way to wish the guide a happy birthday, right? It's
the
practice
best
of
way.
Self-hate.
Yes. Yeah. Talk about
and,
the
and model that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to practice. I mean, the assignments, especially last week's that self. Selflessness is the doing the is the ending suffering, right? Like not from a selfless ego, but from a really a no self hate is to end the self hate here for this human, which becomes available then to everyone when I'm living that, which is what the guide's off modeling is that. You know, she's doing the work, and because she did the work, it was available for her to offer. And we all are the beneficiaries.
Right. And we're doing the work, and then...
And then,
and paid forward, right?
Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. I'm just finding the queue here. All right. And
Michael.
Yes.
Before we go on to our next caller, I did want to extend the invitation to you to see if you wanted to talk about your experience of the assignment.
I would love to. Thank you for the invitation, Jen. And I was thinking about, you know, now that it's been removed, I noticed that I have a great kinship with small children and animals. And I participate in everything, and life is a lot of fun, and it's a great way to live without that inner critic.
You know, Michael, that is a beautiful image. I mean, spending time with small children and animals and birds and sunshine and raindrops and wind and trees and just that it really, that curiosity of childhood, right, before all that stuff gets put into place, before we're taught that we should be critical and that there's a wrong way to be, so therefore there's a right way to be, and you got to try to do that, and you got to, but that just that natural participation is our experience when we're not barraged by self-hate.
Yes, that natural participation. And as I shared recently, I'm in a new job, and it's a lot of fun, and there are a ton of people, and there are a million things to participate in. And I'm really enjoying that, you know, just do this, and then I do this, and then I meet with this person, and then I send this email, and then I make this phone call, and then I take a nice lunch break and listen to the year-long retreat. And there's just a real joy in that ease of participation.
Boy, I think that phrase, there are so many things. In my new job, there are so many things to participate in. I project that phrasing could change the world because I bet there are other that if we hadn't had self-hate removed, I bet there are a lot of other ways that could be phrased.
Yes. Yeah, it's
but
so fun.
Yeah,
go ahead. I missed that.
No, I was just saying to really see it that way, to truly see it as all these different ways to participate.
Yes. And it's funny that you say that because we just joined this local sailing club and there was a big, you know, spring work day, get ready for the season. And, you know, there's 80 people there and we're just participating and cleaning these boats and moving these boats. And it's just participating. And then on top of that, I just discovered that there's a new trail in nature in my neighborhood, of all places. And now I'm going to participate as a trail steward.
So, you know, there's just no, it seems like since that inner critic has been removed, there's no barrier to being life and participating in the way that life is.
And, you know, another word that really drops in as I listen to you, Michael, is love. Because those are always loving, aren't they? You know, loving those boats and loving people and loving the trail and loving the life. And it's all love. That's what's left.
Yes, yes. It is all that's left. And what dropped in as you said that is, we know that quote about everyone's fighting a hard battle. And so I really want to be kind to everyone. Because I have my own experience with that. It's not like I need to imagine that people are fighting a hard battle, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I project that someone is having a hard day, there's a natural compassion that to me is just immediately right there. And that's participation also, you know?
Oh, it really is. It really is, that compassion. And, you know, it's so, there are so many Sherry Huber quotes that are along the lines of when we stop doing everything else, when we get out of the conversation and conditioned mind, when we're here in the present moment, what's left is love, participation, joy, compassion.
Mm-hmm.
But there. I was really looking at that with that last conversation where they were talking about the origins of all this and remembering that the way that first came up was, you know, there's all this gratitude for someone who has, you know, changed our lives in so many ways, and a practice that's changed our lives. So a birthday is an obvious time to celebrate that. A big birthday came around, and there was this sense of like, what do you give someone who really, truly doesn't need or particularly want anything? And of course, what we can give, it's the thing of, you know, a debt that can only be repaid with the same coin. And exactly as you're describing and as described in that last conversation, what we give is our own sincerity and love and presence for practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we give is our own sincerity and love and presence in response to what has been given to us.
Yeah.
And I had the most brilliant follow-up thing to tell you, Jen, and it just faded away.
Well, here's the good news about that, Michael. You're not going to be permanently muted for the rest of the show. So
good. There's something brilliant.
If it doesn't come back by the time I finish this sentence, then you're going to have a lot more opportunities to, and I hope you won't hesitate to put it back in when it does drop back in.
Yes. Yes. And given all that, shall we jump back to callers here, Jen?
Let's do it, yeah.
All right, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony. Tony.
Hey, it's Renny, everyone. Oh, this is so fun. It feels like we're like part of a game. It's okay. And I love the, you know, that we had a focus and this is going to be like the big events. And what I experienced this morning was so wonderful. So I'd been working with this and did some recording and listening about it this morning. And what I got to was this place that I could really feel it. I could imagine it. I could feel it. Where actually, not only was there no self-hatred, there was no hate in the world. I could, there was like no war, no violence. There was no hate anywhere in the world. And I could imagine that, and I could feel that. And then, you know, then followed with, well, I can't necessarily, you know, do that for the whole rest of the world, but I can do it here. That and feel safe and no hate. And all day, when there anything the least bit remotely hateful would come up, I think, nope, like some other people say, you know, no hate. And somehow that, it seemed important in today anyway, to say it like that, like no hate, no hating. It just, I think that word is is strong and it's powerful. And it mm-hmm. felt important to say it because I don't want to be a part of that. And I just had one of the best days. And I had things that weren't normally fun. I mean, but they ended up being really fun. And there was a lightness and a felt a lot more connected to people and not separate from people. And it, I don't know, it was just, it was lovely.
It was. And what strikes me when you say that, right, Tony, when you have that level of starch to say no hate here, right? In some ways, it does create a world of, the word you used was lovely. Things that are not fun are fun, right? It's not that there aren't any challenging things, but in the world that you're projecting, there is no hate. That's how mm-hmm. we end wars, right?
Yeah.
That we can, I mean, it's not just an imagined world. It's a reality because at some level we're in touch with we're creating our world. We just don't know that we are, right? Because it feels so real. Mm-hmm. But there is a projection, and if the projection comes from a process that includes the self-hate, then it's a world that has conflict. But I can have the experience, as you just proved, that I can experience a world that does not have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. And it's lovely.
It is. It is. Yeah. And I keep wanting to like go back to it, and you know, it's not been quite the same as it was this morning. But I have several recordings, and just to have had that experience, to, you know, see, just keep reminding myself. You know, like you said, it's possible, and just. Yeah. Kind of, you know, relive it.
Relive it, meaning live it in the moment. And it's such a fascinating process. I mean, we say there is no inner critic, and we have the experience of no inner critic. And then we watch the process of the inner critic attempt to regrow itself.
Mm-hmm,
maybe
mm-hmm.
let's have surgery more than once, right? But that is that is that place of a process. So the no self-hate piece of it goes back to what one of our callers it was pointing to. I can watch a process that of self arise, and I can watch it without hatred, right? I can watch it without, mm-hmm. what's wrong with you, Tony, that you had that experience and you're not having that experience right now? Or what's wrong with the world that you're not having that experience right now? What's wrong with it's whatever is wrong with whatever, that the experience I'm having is not the experience I should be having.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we meet that with no hate.
That's right. Exactly. No hate. So not going there, right? There's nothing wrong. I can watch anything want to come up and say, well, you know, and I can go, yep, no hate. No self-hate.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Tony. And Jen, I remembered what I was going to share.
Excellent.
So, and I can hear this in Sherry's voice as she says it, that, you know, she wrote the book, There Is Nothing Wrong With You, and then she realized that, in fact, there's nothing wrong, period.
Yeah.
And I just love that because it just expands the whole thing out, you know, because we've removed the inner critic, so it's all, anything about wrong is just gone.
Gone. I mean, and that's a brilliant connection, Michael, especially with that last conversation, because it's exactly the same thing, right? If there's no self-hate, then there's no hate.
Mm. Yeah.
Where in the world would any of that come from? It wouldn't. It just would never... I mean, there you just couldn't have hunger or, you know, it just it wouldn't occur to us. It would just, I mean, so beautifully stated,
Fabulous, fabulous. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Jan and Michael. This is Diane from Colorado.
Hey, Diane.
And I have not called in for a really long time, so one for Diane and zero for self-hate already.
that is the perfect score. Uh-huh.
I like that score, but it's going to get better. one thing that arose for me this morning that would have been such a great opportunity for self-hate to have at it was that I am about to start teaching, not in this tradition, but in another one. And I'm, for the first go at it, I need to collect some people who are willing to do it. And I really have a strong feeling that I want to do it in person. And everybody's so busy and blah, blah, blah. And this morning I was like, oh, nobody, you know, I'm not going to get enough people. This is, you know, I can't do this. All of that self-hate. And then the instruction came in, and I said, well, let's just see how it goes. And it's going great. All these people want to participate, so that's really fun. And then self-hate wants to come in again, and maybe I could get some guidance with this, because it's not in this tradition, but my teaching can't not be informed by what I've learned by being a part of the Sangha. And I don't want to overstep any bounds or anything. And I just, like, don't know how to, I mean, like, how can I not talk about self-hate?
Uh-huh, because that's such a central part of your own practice.
Yes, and like an earlier caller said, you know, call it like it is. At first it's a little jarring, but then you invite people, well, take a look.
Right.
Does that label seem unwarranted?
Right.
It isn't in my experience. What is it in yours?
Right. Well, let me first really reflect the piece that's so relevant to our topic today, Diane, because it's such a beautiful description. So there you are. You're endeavoring in something, and it sounds like normally a place where self-hate would just have a wide open avenue, right, and just take the ball and run with it. But in this case, You saw that it could have an opening, and you just made a different choice. And it sounds like it was pretty straightforward. And that's really it, right? I mean, that's that sort of moment by moment that was being talked about in the last conversation. Is that's our practice, is we get to first of all, to see it attempt to come in, and then to make the choice not to do that. I mean, that's why redirecting attention is the essential skill of awareness practice. And you really practiced that today.
I did, and it was great fun. And I did that before I actually read what I was supposed to be doing. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. You intuitively sensed it. You know,
it's our practice overall, isn't it?
It is our practice, absolutely.
I had a nice little kick in the pants about it this morning in a humorous way, which was so fun.
Yeah. And the piece... looking at, which I think is a really important inquiry in terms of as you're offering practice, as you say, not in this tradition, but another tradition, and sort of looking at how to be skillful about that, that's a little bit beyond the scope of what we can look at this afternoon in this forum. But a really important thing to look at and probably to call in at some point so that you can speak with the guide about that.
I would love to, and I brought it up because it is an important thing for me, and because it's such an opportunity for self-hate. Wait, you can't even talk about any of this, even though it's useful, and where's the line, and, you know, and then off you go, and it's like, I'm never going to do this. This is awful.
Hence the title of the book, Don't Suffer, Communicate, because that's exactly what's supposed to happen. You should not talk about this. You can't talk about this. And then you're going to go off with self-hate, and it's going to end up in a place you don't want to be, period. No matter how it goes on a content level, it's going to pull you into suffering and needlessly, right? So instead, you get to communicate about it.
That's it.
Yep. Perfect. Thanks, Diane.
Okay. Well, thank you. Gesho.
Thanks for joining us, Diane. And we have another caller here. Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hi. Wow, this is so much fun. You know, what dropped in for me is that after surgical removal of self-hate, it just leaves all this space for everything else.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's kind of, I think this is part of, I'm not sure, but part of one of Rumi's sayings or poems, the entire universe is inside you. And that's what it feels like without self-hate.
Mm. Yeah. You know, so what drops in when you say that, the entire universe is inside you, is such a true statement, because the self-hate is basically saying you have no right to exist. When it's
yes.
gone, all of existence is what we are, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can just, at least I can, you know, we can just feel it in a way, like it's like, you know, I was just, what I connected it to was, you know, like if you're going to go out sailing in a boat or ship or whatever, and it was tied to the dock, and that's like when self-hate's there. You just can't, it's stuck. You can't go anywhere. But when you cut the knot or take it off the whatever, it just starts flowing and, you know, down the stream or wherever. And that's what life is like without that self-hate sticking it up or, you know, causing all its trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without its limitations and without it, the friction. It's sort of like that's sort of what dropped in when you said that, right? That you're being held back.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not there, we're free to flow with life.
Yeah, and we're held back and feeling so, like, I think where the feelings would come in is like frustrated and stuck. There's just no way out, all that kind of stuff that we've felt when it's there. But, you know, with surgical removal, life is good.
Yeah. Yeah. The way I was looking at it for myself was it's such a double bind, right, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
That we're waking up to ourselves, but we're caught in something we're not. So how do you see through something that you're not, which is an illusion, in order to wake up to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, we have an awareness practice. And so then when we wake up to ourselves, it's exactly that spacious experience that you're talking about, that flow experience that you're talking about, that lack of frustration because we're not stuck. That's the feeling of being trapped by conditioning. It's frustration. Because intuitively, we know there's a different possibility, right? Divine dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was just a really fun, you know, assignment to look at and to see how it, you know, how it works in our practice. And you're right. I mean, we're so lucky to have a practice where we can have self-hate surgically removed. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, repeatedly if necessary.
Yeah, repeatedly, yeah. I mean, it does never stop. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
thanks,
thank
Bill.
You. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us, Phil. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael, Ashwini, Jen. This is Sherry in San Francisco. So happy to be here. I love this, too. I know a lot of people keep saying that. It just feels like such a beautiful, fun party. And one of the things that just dropped in for me in that last conversation, when someone said, you know, you have no right to exist, is what that inner critic can make us feel like. And it took me right back to one of my first doorways to this practice was in the early 90s. There was actually a class called Going Beyond Self-Hate. And at the time, I was just getting those suicidal thoughts all the time. You don't deserve to be here. You're blah, 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 blah. I don't need to go into it. But But I felt this astonishment when it just, you know what I mean? Like kind of going back there and then coming right back to this moment. One of the things that happened for me today, I was out walking after an appointment, and there wasn't any critical voices. There wasn't anything negative about me or anyone else, but there was a constant yammer. Yeah. And I said, that got removed too, you know, like.
Good for you.
Because I could see.
You had the deluxe version. You had the deluxe version. I also have the elective surgery of the yammy yammy. While you're in there, you might as well. Yeah.
Well, right. And you know what? Like, I'm astonished at this moment because I hadn't really thought about that, you know, that period back in the 90s when things were so bad. I wasn't thinking about that really this week. However, I love that, right? This is how we keep going deeper on this call. The astonishment to see at what's possible, that it was possible for me today to say, you know what, that is hateful. For you to just be yammering at me like this while I'm trying to just be here in my life, to see that our practice has given me that.
Yeah, truly, Sherry. I mean, it really is that last conversation. That has a huge impact, because if when all of that is removed, what we're left with is what we are, the beauty, the majesty of that, the joy of that, the love, the compassion, then it really is self-hating, that distraction from that constant, we don't have our own attention. Our attention is moment by moment robbed from us in that process.
Jen, that hurts to hear that, but it's so true.
Yeah.
And just one other quick thing, because I know a lot of people want to speak, but just the other thing that also was such a beautiful thing that thinking about back then, you know, it was all me, 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 self-hate, you know, and bless her heart, you know, that girl who really needed that. But it was all about, like, internal thoughts. But the other thing that came to me today is, like, no self-hate is, like, no hating any selves, you know, like any of these precious people that I'm, you know, as other people have pointed to, right? Like, and it was just so beautiful to see the definition expanded.
Well, and, you know, and we often talk about this too, you know, deep bow of gratitude to her, Dasho, because that's what brought you to practice.
Yeah. Thank you. It's such a celebration to be here. So thank you
so much. It has quite a party feel to it, doesn't it?
No, it does. It really does. It does. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks, Sherry.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. And the party continues, and we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in Massachusetts.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Hey. Happy to join the party. Mm. I mean, deep gusto to practice. I got the best surgeon. The best.
Yes, it's very much like the guy who woke up to the in the butcher shop, right, Jill? We all got the best surgeons. We got this practice.
Exactly. Yeah, and went deep. And I mean, so much of what has been said on the call already mirrors my experience of it. Is I have just so been enjoying its absence. It's like just this experience of having like a buzzsaw in my head that I've just endured, and suddenly the sound is gone, and just like, wow, just how amazing is that? And then also too, just the boat image really resonated with me, you know, when it's tied at the dock, there's a lot of tension on that rope, you know, and it's... It swings around, and when it's set free, just that experience of it, what has replaced that buzzsaw sound is just this just feels like a whole experience of just moving through life and with the flow. And it has been something else. Very unexpected.
You know, it's so difficult to put in words what it's like not to have a conversation, because we're so used to talking about the conversation that to describe space with words is kind of an oxymoron, right? And so we just have to keep pointing to what the absence of that feels like, which is what it is. There's no noise. Literally, no noise and no friction, and smooth sailing, right?
Yeah, smooth sailing, no tension. Yeah, it feels...
It's not tense.
Delightful.
Yeah.
It feels so delightful.
Very delightful.
Best surgery ever. So, so again, Deep Gesho, very grateful, very, very grateful. Very grateful.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And I love that, no noise and no friction. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Jen in Squim.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, I wanted to join the party. and I so appreciate, all of this and the piece about like it might, regrow and need to be cut out repeatedly, kind of a thing, It's just so, and that's all part of it. Like that's all, because I watched like when the assignment first came out, just the delight, like on the actual day, just being so delighted all day, like working with like, oh my gosh, it's removed. And then seeing the ways that it just keeps inserting itself. And then, going to the practice of recording what's true and what's real and the way that can, bring back, oh, right, this is how it feels when it's been removed, And what was coming in was, here in Squim, right, there's a lot of weeding. And I was just laughing because I was feeling like, oh, it's just like that. It's like, we weed and it looks so good for, like 20 minutes. And then you sort of turn your back and the weeds have returned. But that's okay. We just get back in there and we weed again, And it was just like, came in that it's kind of that process to me.
So your first experience in receiving the assignment was delight, just the delight of it.
Totally. And same about
the delight, Jen.
So fun. That cartoon was so great, right? Just looking at the image of that cartoon was just fabulous. Like, I love having that image of, like, here it is in the jar,
isn't it? It's like what reminds me of, I think of the Einstein who talked about thought experiments, right? Because there he was, like, working on quantum physics, and you can't look at that stuff. We can't even see it, right? So you're theorizing about things that are so outside what our senses can sense that you've got to kind of put yourself in that situation in some way. And that's what the assignment did. It puts us in that situation of like, wow, what is that like to have self-hate removed? And for you, you went to a place of delight.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So fun. And to keep going back to that, that cartoon, that image and the delight, which is what I feel like that, second part of like the RX, from your doctor was talking about, like, okay, and if that phantom, comes in, if that weed grows again, like, here's where you can go, like, back to the delight, back to what's possible, back to what's true, back to the joy. And, so that's the practice and how wonderful to know that we have a practice that supports us to do that again and yet again, as we say every day. So, yeah.
Well, and there's the piece that everyone's been pointing at too, right? Of the only way we can know that that's coming back in is that that's pointed out to us internally, I project. And in my experience, that's always some form of self-hate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that it's coming back. So self-hate is actually saying, oh, look, I'm back or something.
Stay
and
back.
That's the self-hate. Yeah.
So then you could do the playful thing that everyone's pointing at of like, What? I don't know what you're talking about. I had that surgically removed. I have no ability. I have no ability to compare. I have no ability to critique. I have no ability to feel bad. I don't. So that's all just going right over my head.
That's so great. Like, I'm sorry, I can't reference that conversation because that doesn't land here. Yeah, that's good. I'll play with that. Yeah, thank you. That's great. So very grateful. Great to be part of the party. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. And I think we have time for at least one more caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara in Australia.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Michael and Jen. Been great listening to the call. I just really wanted to call in to express my gratitude for this practice and how much it's changed my life, specifically around self-hate. And, love. Getting that assignment. I also just really made me laugh. I loved reading the part about the surgeon's note about the phantom self-hate. I just thought that was fantastic. And I just, when I got the reminder email and I read through the sort of the list of the things that had been removed, it really struck me. I thought, if that's all gone, you know, all that's left is love. It felt like, that's just what it felt like.
Mm-hmm. That's so helpful, right, Barbara? Because when we talk about self-hate, we kind of know what it represents or what it says or what it is in sort of a label form. But those very specific things like no comparison, nothing better to do in your life, you don't have anything that... you're not good enough, all of those things, if that didn't exist, then you're right. When it comes up, we can go, I don't know what that is. Like, I literally don't know what that is because I don't have the ability to know what that is. And if that doesn't exist and we really look at what's left, you're right, what we have is love.
Yeah. Particularly like the assessing thing has been really, that's been such a big one for me, like, letting go of that and seeing how it, you know, someone I think called in last week in the radio show was kind of pointing to this, you know, how it can show up in assessing my practice, you know, and giving feedback about what I'm not doing well enough or, you know, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. And so the assessing and, yeah, that's been enormous, kind of dropping that in entirety. And there's a, you know, I can hear ego in the background going, but, you know, but you can't drop that. Like, if you don't assess, how will you know? You know, how will you know how you're doing?
And it's so helpful to have a framework where that's a phantom. That's not real, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to believe it. I don't need to. I don't even need to. I can completely ignore it.
Yes. And just when I said that, it's like, how do I know? And it's like, well, I don't know, but that's the place I want to be in. Mm-hmm. I want to be
Precisely.
In the place of not knowing.
Yeah, self-hate, that it's egocentric karmic conditioning that wants to know, that thinks that that we can know. But there's the intuitive experience that when I'm here, there is nothing to know. Right. I was just looking at it this morning, you know, Barbara, that it is mysterious, right? And the point of a mystery is that you don't know it.
Mm.
You know there is a mystery, but you don't know the answer, right? Whereas the condition, the thing outside of life really thinks there is something to know.
Yes. And, you know, I've heard so many times, through this practice that, you know, if I'm checking in for an assessment of how I'm doing, I never get a good mark. Like, you know, it's never sort of going, great, you're going great. So,
yeah.
A lot, so much gratitude.
Yes, and now you make such an important point, and one that's made, and there's nothing wrong with you. If you get an assessment that is negative but assists you to do better, that's one thing. But that's not self-hate.
Mm.
Right?
It's just
negation. And yet, when we listen to the still small voice, we get all kinds of information, and it's delivered in a way that's helpful.
Yes. And, you know, the other way it really manifests a lot for me was just this sort of ubiquitous feeling bad. You know, it was like just a feeling, this practice has helped me see what's been underneath that feeling. And now as soon as it starts to creep in, it's like, oh, self-hate, drop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Got no information for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that it's such a useful way of describing that, right? This yucky, low-level feeling bad, and that is a clue to help us see what's underneath it. And then once we've seen it, we can just go, I know what it is, so I don't need to explore it anymore. I can just drop it.
Yes. Okay. Yes, so thank you so much. And, yeah, the assignment was wonderful, and,
Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, does that bring us to the end of our show? Hello?
Did we lose Michael?
I think we might have, but we could wrap up.
That's me.
Jen?
You know, Ashwini, I just had one thing as everyone was talking about what a party it felt like. That's so fun that I saw as we were talking this evening is, what a gift it is to receive, and what a celebration of the existence of a particular node of intelligence to really receive what has been given through that node of intelligence. And it feels like that's what everyone's been doing on this call today, and it's been so lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, deep gratitude for the practice and all the practitioners and the celebration and the party.
And the celebration of the party and the assignment that we can keep doing for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, there you are, Michael.
Oh, you can hear me? Great.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, it was fabulous.
Well,
we had a record number of callers, and it was lovely.
We should do this more often. We should do it more often.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Go
thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye. So happy. Thank you, Jen.
Bye-bye. Thank you.